talking about the groups, was there, like there was the flappers and the wowsers. Do you remember those names?
Yeah, well, I know the wowsers, but I know what they are. Yeah. But the flappers, I always thought were young ladies like yourself and young people.
Yeah, they.
But yeah.
Was there any like definition at school of a flapper was a young girl who was like a real rebel who went everything against her parents and snaked and drunk.
Yeah.
Was there many of those?
Oh, I wouldn't say there were too many, but there were some.
Yeah.
But it was more conservative in its attitude. There were some, who were rebellious to the system, but they were more isolated, and therefore, because there were less of them, they were more easily seen, do you understand? But there wasn't anyone that, I think was, to take exception to. You wouldn't, in fact, if they were the same young people came out in today's society, they might be counted a little bit mild in their rebellion, but because there was a limited number of people and we lived in a more conservative time, they showed out more in those times. But they were there, and they helped to change society, which I think was good.
Did you go to primary school at Narromine?
No, I didn't, no. No, I went to school. We then came from Benalla, and we came back and I went to school at Benalla. Then I became a boarder at the school in Melbourne.
Oh.
And then I came out to Narre Warren to live in 1939-40. I was 16-year-old then.
Yeah.
So, but I used to come to Narre Warren so often, so much, I knew what was going on.
Was there many children that went to the primary school?
At one stage, when Mr. McGilray was the schoolmaster there, he told me they thought the school might close because they didn't have enough. They got down to 21 or something, like children at the, the school that I'm talking about, the one up the Webb Street?
Yeah, Mimicatics.
That's right, yeah, right next door there.
Yeah.
And then more citizens came and more children came. And it wasn't a lot went there. But, it fluctuates a bit, doesn't it? As they grow older, they'll even go to high school and then they'll go on the train or something. And the Bailey boys went to Wesley College, I think. Hallam Valley had a school, still has though, hasn't it, Hallam Valley?
Yeah.
Still got a school, it has a school, and Narre North, of course, and that.
Yeah.
But never ever very big numbers there at one stage, in the 20s. It wasn't great.
Right. Was there any
And of course, Narre Warren was always an accessible place to get to because the trains came fairly regularly through Narre Warren. There was a lot of morning trains, evening trains coming back from Melbourne and that, it was quite a nice little place to live, but it didn't have that sort of enticing home in it. There wasn't that many, the only little weatherboards and everything like that. It just seemed to be a bit of a lost city at one stage.
Yeah.
Which has made me, knowing what it is now, it's made me think that whatever you see today, if you live long enough, the dead opposite will happen. Like Narre Warren looked like maybe Dodge City at one time in its life, And now it's absolutely blossomed into a tremendous area, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Could I ask you one question? Do you like living in Narre Warren?
Yeah, I liked it when I was younger, when you could cross the road and not have to worry about cars speeding down or being able to go and play in the paddocks and stuff like that. You can't do that now, which
But tell me this and to answer that, will Rebecca drive a car soon?
Yes.
Well, it's a cycle, isn't it?
Yeah.
I agree with what you say.
Yeah.
But then some chap riding his bike at the moment round, a number of boys or girls, they'll say, but there are only less cars on the road, it'd be so much easier to ride your bike and do this and do that. And then they'll go on, won't they? They'll go forward to...
And get a car. Get it. Yeah.
And I suppose you're looking forward to driving a car.
Yeah, I am. It's just I know, it's just so busy in there now. It's just so built up. So many states building up and just there's no open paddocks, hills or anything.
But when Rebecca gets her car, it'll only take her 10 minutes to drive away into the areas that she used to know at Nowrie. They'll only be 10 minutes away from her, down out into the fields of Clyde or somewhere like that, or out back in Nowrie North or something like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Won't they?
Yeah.
I know that you've got to travel further, but it'll be there. You know, if we don't have that sort of explosion like we've had, well, we shouldn't really have Australia, should we?
Yeah,
if there's so many teeming millions everywhere else, we've got to bear our share of it, haven't we?
Yeah,
that's true. That's what I think, anyway.
Yeah.
And I think you're very lucky in the year that you've come in, because there's more in the awakening today to look after the world than there ever has been. But of course, in the 20s, there was no necessity for us to ever think of that, because there was only so few of us here in Australia, and we lived so simply.
Yeah.
You know, I rode a horse in Nowrie Warren all the time. I didn't drive a car, and I'd have one horse, and you know, so it was just simple living. And then when everything started to gee up, of course, then you get the pollution and all those things. But the young people are very conscious of it today, aren't they?
Yeah.
Don't you reckon?
Yeah.
You know, it's not what the world they get up on the TV and the wires and that, and they say the world we're going to leave to a word which I think is absolutely abhorrent. They say the world we'll leave to our kids, you know, which I think should be the world we'll leave to our children. But our children are so aware and so responsible now of what goes on that they'll quietly just take our position and rectify the few things that we've done wrong, but we've only done it because we just didn't understand for a while, because we didn't have to worry.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I used to go to Dan, as I say, and my auntie Nella would take me in there in a horse and gig. You know, we'd just trot along into Dan, and if you could do that in those days, like, you didn't have much opposition with cars or anything. Now, you know, the people wouldn't understand it, would they? They saw you driving along in a gig.
No. How long did it take you to get from Nowrie, maybe to...
Oh, I suppose, good little horse that trot in half an hour, you know, trot in just quiet and give him a spell, and I think he'd trot in, you know. Many a time, when I was a young fellow, I walked to Dan on the back. In years prior to the 20s that you're talking about, my father used to walk the pigs into Dan on, start on a Sunday to get them there for Tuesday's sale. Mm-hmm. But that's going back a lot further than where you want to go, you know.
Yeah.
We took him in the spring cart with a net open in the 20s to the Daniel Market.
Okay.
So
there wasn't anything terribly great about
Nowrie,
and just that it was small,
it
was pretty isolated.
Yeah, it was kind of, I felt in those days, like Berwick was a draw card, it was a more of a, you know, ongoing place and a wealthier place, and probably the education of the people up here was a lot better maybe than what we were down there at Nowrie. And it had more going for it than Nowrie, and Nowrie was kind of passed over. And so it just happened that, I don't know how it was, as an ugly cousin or something like that. It was just, you know, it wasn't actually ugly, but it was kind of plain. It was plain.
Yeah.
But it was always there, that the potential was there, that Nowrie Warren was going to be a great place one day.
Did you enjoy living there?
I loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it. I really loved it, you know. And because, as you asked me before about knowing people, I knew all the people in those 12 houses, and, you know, all the battlers and the good people and everything that lived in those 12, and I didn't know the other so well that lived on the five rises. Yeah. I didn't know them. But I reckon it was great down there. They were salt of the earth sort of people.
Yeah.
Great workers. I felt that and enjoyed the times very much. Yeah. And because they had a, you know, they had a dance there and that was a sort of a meeting place in our day.
Did they hold that at the Mechanics Institute?
Yeah, oh yeah, and they had pictures there at the Mechanics Institute. I think they've filled in the holes now where they used to get back in the supper room with their camera and turn the thing around and go on the screen in the hall.
Yeah.
Up on the stage and that, yeah. You know, like the old style movies?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that hall did everything. But that was the same when Lucy lived in Tower Gippsland, isn't it? The hall was the main thing.
Yeah.
But the Nauri ones kept.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't use
they
it.
Don't have much in it for young
people.
No.
Oh, don't they?
No, not like you said, there was dances and
stuff. Yeah, dances and like, you know, in the hall there, there'd be the dance and there'd be church every Sunday and meetings, all those things.
Everything that was sort of held there.
Yeah, a whole lot. Yeah. Hall committee, you know, it kept the area going. And then as Nauri grew and grew, of course I thought it became more used, but then they built a better facilities, haven't they?
Yeah.
Well, they got it, I suppose.
Yeah. To accommodate for the more people.
Yeah. I think, Rebecca, you'd find that, you know, even in your, if you'd have been, say, a young girl in those days, you'd have enjoyed it.
Yeah, I reckon I would too.
You know, I think you would have. I'm positive. It was a pretty good little agricultural area too. They were pretty good farmers.
Yeah.
Those that were around there. Good farmers.
That was what most of them.
Yeah, orchards. There were orchards up on ceramic, Bob Kent's up there, and there were orchards there, and over where Brecon is, where John Lloyd was, they had beef cattle, and where the Sweeneys were, they milked cows, and, you know, the milk used to go from a number of farms round out further, the Wankies and the Hillbricks and all those, they'd take their milk down to the station and catch the 7:30 train, put the milk in the guards van, and send it down to Melbourne. They'd trot in with their spring cart with cans of milk on. You've seen those cans.
Yeah,
they used to all do that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And when your family first came in the 1800s, did they move to the place that you lived, or have they always lived?
Yeah. When? In my uncle Dan, who was always a bachelor, he came to the gold fields at Ballarat from Ireland, from Pamoya in County Cork Island. And then my grandfather came out and he put a note in the paper to say if anyone knew of a Daniel Sweeney in Australia, he came 2 years later, would they contact him and tell him he was at the hotel somewhere down near the wharves in Melbourne. And Dan was told by another miner at Ballarat that he saw this ad in the paper that his brother was in Australia, and he rode his horse down from, or bought a horse and rode it down from Ballarat. Met his brother and they had a little bit of a talk and they said instead of being miners they'd rather be farmers. So they bought another horse and they rode to Gippsland. And as they came out here to Nauri Warren, they were going along, they asked the estate agent and for Moy, the farm where Frank Sweeney still is on, the man there, his wife had died giving birth to a baby and he was heartbroken and wanted to go back to England. So the Sweeney brothers bought it from him. And they've been in that area all the since. Frank Sweeney owns on the north side of the rail line still, part of the original farm the Sweeneys had back 130-odd years ago.
Really?
Yeah. He's still there. Yeah. And they lived in an old wattle door place, you know, that's like plaster put onto tea tree sticks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I can remember my father hitting a cricket ball one day that hard that it went through the wall into the house, like a rabbit burrow put in, because it went through the plaster, you know.
Yeah.
It was so, you know, they lived pretty simple lives, but good lives.
Yeah.
They were healthy people, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
all the people around were good, good people.
Were the people that were around, were their families large families, like?
Oh, some were, and some, yeah, they, you know, probably larger than today's families, you know, yeah. They'd be families, I think you'd average sort of fives and sixes anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and there were some families of eight to tens or something like that, but I think the average would be about six in those days, which is kind of two or three more than what we'd be today, isn't it?
Yeah.
Generally about a three it seems to be a family.
Now, yeah.
But, you know, maybe today they say in the world that you should just reproduce yourself sort of thing. But in those days, there had to be bigger families to help do the work, and plus the nation would never get off the ground if it didn't have people, didn't it? Yeah, had to have people. And big families were tremendous because they made their own fun and enjoyment, all those things, you know. Really, you had to have it in those days in every way, I reckon. Here, Lucy, she tells me about her family, which was a family of, they lived in South Gippsland of 13 or 14, and you know, of a Sunday night with a few friends and everything like that, they could hold a concert or a dance amongst themselves. That's how many, you know.
Yeah, the family
said. Yeah. Well, if you had 20 people there and a mixture of each sex, you could have 10 couples on the floor, couldn't you, dancing in the kitchen or something.
Yeah.
So, I hope that sort of thing, you know, does that suffice with you? Does that help you what you want to do or not?
Yeah.
The money in those days wasn't sort of plentiful like today.
Yeah.
You know, the old timers in those days, when they went out for the day, the first thing they'd do it would take their good clothes off when they came home and hang them up, see that they're brushed and put away in the wardrobe. Yeah. And then they'd get straight into their working clothes. You know, in most of the families that I knew, they get out of their good clothes.
Did people that owned the businesses like butcher and bakery, did they live around the area?
Yes, they live usually behind the, or next door to, or behind the actual business house, you know, where the bakery was. Or they live behind the place. Yeah, they live there.
Yeah.
You see, because travelling in those things, Rebecca, in those days, you know, you wouldn't drive in anywhere.
Only
one man, and I used to, George, can you remember his name, Lucy, the man who used to come out and do the night shift on the railways a lot of times, and he'd ride a bike, he'd leave down at 10 o'clock at night on his bike, and come on to the, George Riddle was his name, and come on to the 11 o'clock shift if I remember rightly, and he'd come out in an hour on his bike, and then he'd ride back in the morning. He'd do an 8-hour shift as one of the assistant station masters. He'd be the only, and you know, always amazed me for a man to travel that far.
Yeah.
No, they didn't travel that far. People that worked for the Sweeneys used to come out of Narrowarrin and go over and help them milk the cows in the morning.
Mm.
You know. I feel that you know, it couldn't have stayed like it was. It was just kind of dormant and sleeping, and that it had to one day awaken up and arise, and away it went.
Yeah.
But it's all the better. It's better for it.
Yeah.
I remember Arthur Tassoulis. Did you know Arthur? He had
the shop.
Yeah.
He had the milk bar.
Milk bar. Yeah. He said to me about Narrowarrin, because he came there a long time ago, like when you're grandparents came, you know, and he said, oh, it won't move. And I said, anyone who comes to Narrowarrin and can just wait, any business person can wait and just plod along quietly. Don't think you're going to get all your money in 1 or 2 years. You just wait. In due course, anyone who comes here will be a millionaire, because the people will come.
Mm.
It had one tremendous thing going for it, which I always thought as a young man. It was only two kicks of a football between the railway line and the Princes Highway.
Yeah.
Two magnificent public transport areas, and they're only 200 or 300 yards apart.
Yeah.
And you know, that's
a lot of German settlers, wasn't
it? German. Yeah, the Germans were out in Hessel Road and that, the German, because there's a Lutheran cemetery up Harker Way and that.
Yeah.
They were good farmers, the Shermans. All those people were good farmers then, because they had to be. You couldn't afford to make mistakes because probably go broke,
yeah.
You know.